From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
You're listening to Inside Thunder Basketball with Darnell Mayberry. This is a special edition podcast. Usually we're in the video studio, but today we're in the podcast studio with our Thunder beat writer, Darnell Mayberry. I'm Mike Sherman, and we're talking all things Thunder. Darnell, how's it going?
Good.
I like that hat you wore when you came in. I'm just going to say this. This guy is all NBA all the time, and he was rocking it old school, not for anybody else, but for him. Because once upon a time, as a wee lad, my friend Darnell Mayberry was a Washington Wizards fan. And to cover his head up today, it's cold here in Oklahoma City, 40 degrees. Darnell had him a DC Wizards hat. Sporting, I like it.
Frankly, I like it too. The only problem I have is you said was a Wizards fan. Frankly, I still am.
Don't you have to sign something when you get your media credential for the NBA that says, I'm signing away all fandom rights in perpetuity?
No. Heck no. Why?
Well, I'm saying, well, you couldn't. Let me ask you this. Let's talk about fandom for a second.
You questioning my fanhood.
What I'm saying is you could not cover a team and root for them, right? I mean,
technically, you're not supposed to. That wouldn't be ethical.
Have you
journalist,
seen,
from a journalist standpoint.
Have you seen guys rooting for teams they cover in the NBA?
No, not in the NBA. I've been in a few press boxes where guys get a little, their fanhood comes out a little bit.
That's like every Nebraska game in Lincoln. There's some of that going on there. But we digress, because what we're here to talk today about is the Oklahoma City Thunder, which here's the big news of the day for me, Darnell. You know, a couple weeks ago, I started inserting the phrase in conversation with you, if the playoffs started today, and you didn't like that.
Let me say something else I don't like. You're shaking your glasses at me. Mike Sherman has got this new set of spectacles. I think they're his Sam Presti spectacles. And he's reminding me a little bit, when he has them on, he looks like a bald Sam Presti.
Oh, that's low.
And when he has them in his hand, he reminds me of PJ Carlissimo, who was in town.
Oh, no, you
didn't.
Whenever
he's shaking his glasses at me. So could you stop? You're threatening me right now with the glasses. Put them on or set them down.
Well, let me put them on so I can read the latest from John Hollinger, ESPN NBA analyst. And here's what he has to say today. He's got his updated NBA playoff odds. The reams and reams and reams of analysis that the ESPN machine produces on all sports is amazing to me. But here's NBA, and Hollinger's got his playoff odds. They're updated every night. This is a little promo for him. Guess what they say, Darnell? They say that the Oklahoma City Thunder has an 82.5% chance of making the playoffs.
Sounds a little high to me.
Why?
82.5% chance?
Right.
They got some tough games coming up. They got an 82.5% chance of not being .500 after December.
Well, we're going to get to that in just a second, but let me go through these stats with you for a second. This is Hollinger. He's a mathematician and an NBA analyst. Couple things. Best case scenario for the Thunder, a record of 64-18. That means 9 losses the rest of this season. They're 11-9 now. What do you say to that?
Hollinger says the best case is 64-18.
Best case. Now, worst case, 28-54. That means they'd only win 17 games the rest of the way. So there's a wide range in there, right? But here's what he says. He says that the Thunder, he projects the Thunder to win 48 games based on what's going on right now, based on a lot of things. He says that they have about a 20% chance of winning their division. As I said, 82.5% chance of making the playoffs and a 3% chance of a number one seed.
So he's telling me that they're going to win 37 more games. He projects them to win 37 more games than they have right now. 37 That's more games. That's more games than I projected them to win all season.
That's right. And you know what? By the way, I wasn't going to bring this up. I'm glad you did. Your projection is not looking so hot.
There's a lot of time left in the season. I don't think that they're going to have a tailspin like they did to start the year last year, but I'm just saying that there's a lot of time left in the season. Let's see what happens.
Okay, speaking of that, there's an interesting stretch coming up. The Thunder, which won last night, beat the Golden State Warriors 104-88. And I'm going to get to something that you said about that game here in a minute, but first I want to talk about what's coming up. A stretch of the season that some say may be defining. Friday night at Memphis, an improved Memphis team, but not that improved. And then comes the stretch. Sunday at home against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Monday at Denver. Wednesday at home versus the Dallas Mavericks. Friday at home versus Detroit. Then Saturday, Houston at the Lakers at Phoenix. That's the 10-game span we talked about. A 10-game span in which they play a bunch of playoff teams. In fact, all of those teams that we spoke of just now, with the exception of Memphis Friday night game,
right?
All those games, seven straight against playoff teams. Is that when? So when you look at that, is that what you're thinking of when you're scoffing at John Hollinger's playoff odds?
Yeah, I mean, they better beat Memphis or else it's going to be a tough stretch. I mean, you look at Cleveland. Cleveland's going to be tough whether you get them here at home or in Cleveland. Denver's going to be tough in Denver. And Dallas and Detroit. Detroit, they can win. But Houston, on the road, they've already lost to Houston twice this season. So that's a tough matchup for them. For some reason, they can't seem to close out Houston down the stretch of games. So, you know, this is going to be a brutal month, the rest of the month for this team. And I don't – 48 wins sounds like a lot to me.
By the way, just for the record, I picked 40. I kind of like my number now.
40, I think 40 is realistic. I think 40 is a lot more realistic than 48.
I was scoffed at. I was called all kinds of things. I was called irrational. And I won't even say some of the other things I was called. But anyway, I like my number. Here's the interesting thing about that stretch we just talked about, Darnell, this defining stretch. I'm not saying it's the most defining of the season. You can pick all kinds of stuff. But here's a road trip. I guess you're taking it. It's in the middle of December. At Houston on a Saturday night, then back-to-back, Los Angeles Lakers, Phoenix Suns. That's three straight road games. That's a tough stretch.
You look at going into Friday night's game, that's eight games. They'll be lucky to come out of that stretch 4-4.
If they come out 4-4, they should be – I mean, that would be a huge accomplishment.
If they came out 4-4, that'd make them what, 15-13?
Mm-hmm.
15-13, they'll still be two games above 500. That's pretty good. Then you close the month with Charlotte, New Jersey, Washington, Utah. That's three winnable games out of four. Actually, all four are winnable because they already beat Utah this season at Utah.
So let's do a little math here. We said 4-4 stretch would be outstanding.
Right.
Okay, and that takes them to 15 and what? What
are we saying? 15 and 13.
15 and 13. And then if you win three out of four against that Charlotte, New Jersey, Washington, Utah stretch, three out of four there, that's 18.
18 and 14.
18 and 14 through 32 games of the NBA season, through the calendar year. They go to January 1.
And it softens up.
And it softens up. Now, John Hollinger, I can't imagine what the odds would be then. Through the roof.
Yeah. I mean, 18 and 14 after December, I'm looking at 48 wins at that point, and I'll give Hollinger credit. But I don't see them going 4-4 on this trip. 3-5 seems realistic. You figure they could beat Memphis, Detroit, and Houston. Cleveland, Denver, Dallas, Lakers, Phoenix. Those are five tough games. I'm not saying that they're going to lose them. They're just five tough games.
Okay, let's talk about on the court what you saw last night. And I'm interested in something you blogged about on News OK right now on Darnell's Thunder Rumblings blog. He talks about the Thunder, sort of the Thunder credo, which is team first, play for each other, all these things, which he says were on display Monday night at the Ford Center. And so was the flip side. And the flip side was what you saw from the Golden State Warriors.
Chaos.
Really?
It was chaos. It was me first. Selfishness. A bunch of pouting. Guys weren't playing for each other. And you frankly get sick of hearing Scott Brooks and Sam Presti spew that over and over again. Team first. You know, good guys.
It's
high character. It's a process. But then a team like the Golden State Warriors comes into town. And you see the flip side, like you say, the Monte Ellis's of the world, the Mikey Moores of the world, the Anthony Randolphs of the world. This league is filled with bad players, bad character players, selfish players, and Golden State's roster has a bunch of them. Corey Maggette got ejected last night. I don't think we've had an ejection all season for the Thunder. If you go back to last year, I can only probably remember it may have been one ejection. So I think Thunder fans should appreciate some of the things that's going on here in Oklahoma City.
And that's interesting you should point out Golden State. Now, I think they've been that way for years. I've been watching Golden State Warriors, you know, on and off since the first day Don Nelson ever coached them. This is his second tour through. This one seems to be really, really chaotic. You talk about a case where Mikey Moore sort of gave a teammate a bad look. You talked about Monte Ellis clapping his hands, demanding the ball.
Yep.
I'm reading stories about Monte Ellis demanding the ball. And then on the other side of this, we see the Thunder, which, you know, didn't always play that way last year. In fact, when the season started, you told me some incidences where you saw guys were playing for themselves.
Right. And you look at certain guys, there's no secret that there were some bad apples in the bunch here last year. And I think, you know, I have to give credit to Sam Presti for weeding out some of those guys. Earl Watson was noticeably unhappy because of his situation with Russell Westbrook getting the minutes, more minutes than he was. Damian Wilkins was always sort of unhappy and didn't like his role coming off the bench. Chris Wilcox was another guy who was lost in the shuffle with Nick Collison and some of the younger guys getting minutes over him like Jeff Green. So give the management a lot of credit for weeding out those guys, because this thing could have been sour from the start, and I think the management has done a terrific job of getting high-character guys in here, guys that want to be here, guys that want to play for each other.
Now, before we go out and give everybody a merit badge for great conduct and all that stuff, I do want to point out something. You've told me you've seen occasions watching the Thunder play. These guys, all of them, are interested in their stats.
Yeah, they are. I mean, there are occasions where Jeff Green has pulled down a rebound from Kevin Durant, or vice versa. Kevin Durant pulled a rebound from Jeff Green. I think it was a couple games ago, either the Philly game or the Houston game. And Jeff Green, as he's going down the court, he sort of mouths something to Kevin, and he has this smirk on his face like, that was my board. You know, I'm trying to pad my stats here. But the difference is, these guys are actually trying to win. They enjoy playing with each other. It's more fun when they're doing. Mikey Moore didn't have a smile on his face when Anthony Randolph took that rebound from him. Jeff Green did.
Okay. Something else. One last thing before we get out of here. A something that I put a smile on a Thunder fan's face, frankly, is the way that James Harden is playing right now. You know, we could sit here and rhapsodize about Kevin Durant's performance almost every night. We're getting to the point now where 28 is what is expected. 33 is not routine. But last night, James Harden did a couple things that are just remarkable. One is career high 26 points.
Yeah, and career high 9 rebounds.
Career high 9 rebounds. Went to the line
14 times, made 13 of them.
13 to 14 line. Got to the line 14 times. And then the one I like to talk about is the dunk, which it's not Dr. J's take off from the free throw line dunk at the All-Star game in the ABA in the mid-70s. But I've talked to people who were there. I saw a replay of it myself. It didn't look like he was going to make it to the rim.
No, it didn't. But James Harden has shown that explosion. And even back in the summer league, he had a few dunks like that where it made people go, wow, this guy is more athletic than people give him credit for. And I think you were one of the guys. We don't do these podcasts anymore, so you know I got to bust you. You still want Ricky Rubio?
Well, listen, there was somebody who was writing for a paper that I happen to have a lot invested in and love. And you know what? I think he went for the Sam Presti Ricky Rubio head fake.
This isn't about me.
And I went with him.
This isn't about me. You wanted Ricky Rubio from the start.
I allowed my imagination to run wild. I like the high concept of Rubio creating for all these guys. I'll admit it. I like the idea of Rubio. I was trying to get people in Spain to listen to these podcasts. I was trying to make you more bilingual.
Well, here's the deal. The bottom line is James Harden is a player. Kevin Durant said something last night that sort of opened my eyes, something that I've said even before the season started. He has the potential to be a sixth man of the year, and I thought he had that potential this year. He's not getting nearly enough minutes to sort of get into that category, but I think he has that potential because he has an all-around game. He makes shots. He makes his teammates better.
I never thought of that. Better chance, rookie of the year or sixth man of the year for James Harden?
Ooh, that's tough. I'm going to say sixth man because you got two rookies that are running away with it right now, Brandon Jennings and Tyreke Evans. They're getting more opportunity, so they're putting up better numbers. And their teams aren't that bad. I mean, they're not that much worse than the Thunder right now in terms of record. So, you know, I think you have to give the nod to those two guys over James Harden right now.
Okay, let me put in a plug on the way out. Thunder Rumblings blog, a must-read for all those who are trying to understand the growth of this team, where it's headed, and what's going on with it. That's at newsok.com. Read Darnell Mayberry's Thunder Rumblings blog. And then on Sunday, LeBron James will be in the Ford Center for a 6 o'clock game against the Thunder, his only visit to Oklahoma City this year. Maybe his last visit here wearing the Cleveland Cavaliers jersey. We're talking about that. But another thing, Darnell's going to do something that a lot of people did last summer. He's going to take a look and compare LeBron James and Kevin Durant, how they are at the Kevin Durant's age, a comparison of these two stars. There's been people out there who said Kevin Durant is as good as LeBron James. I don't know if Darnell's ready to go that far, and neither do you, but you'll have to pick up the paper, The Oklahoman, or visit newsok.com to find out on Sunday. That's all for this edition of Inside Thunder Basketball with Darnell Mayberry. Stay with the best coverage team anywhere, every day at News OK, and every morning in The Oklahoman.